This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and now here I go again, I say, I want my freedom from the cranberry juice guy being everywhere I fucking look on the internet.
He's just living his life on that skateboard, baby.
I love him. They're trying to brand him, and it's very annoying. Okay.
I know. I'm Brandy Posey, and if you own snakes for Halloween this year, try going as someone who's not a fucking creep.
I'm Tess Barker, and the hottest summer I ever spent was an autumn in Los Angeles.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Oh, my God. So excited. It's such a weird time in the world, but I'm really excited about this hang and about our guest. She's the creator of The Daily Show, and she's just one of my heroes, one of the most just like tireless activists for women and women's rights, and just an amazing person. Her nonprofit, the Abortion Access Front, is doing such important work throughout the world. Liz Winstead, you guys.
It's me.
She's making jerk off blowjob motions off camera.
Yes. But did you see? So, Babs, my friend.
Yes.
Your boyfriend, the cranberry skateboarding dude. Mm-hmm. Did you see Stevie Nicks, you guys, this week, who said there wouldn't be Fleetwood Mac without abortion?
Yes.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yes. For That's Stevie Nicks awesome. Said Fleetwood Mac. Would not I am Fleetwood Mac, and Fleetwood Mac would not exist if there wasn't abortion.
Oh my
and she
God,
might have
I
said,
a, so
"Yeah,
much.
Inject it into my veins."
Tell you what, I know. So we did on our TikTok. We did a TikTok where it's just like pictures of her and just being like, "Here's the pull quote." Mm-hmm. You know, here you go again, wanting your freedom, having abortion, Stevie Nicks,
yes.
You go.
Hey, you. We don't get cranberry juice, man, without abortion. So
that
you know.
Is true. That's how it works. So
yeah.
he got a free truck and like a giant, you know, truck bed full of cranberry juice. So at least if you have sex with him, you're not getting a UTI. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can be helpful with your UTI.
Yeah.
but also. Let's just be real. This is a podcast called Lady to Lady. Mm-hmm. You can't be drinking that Ocean Spray sugar-laden shit for your UTIs. It does not help. You
not
have
real.
To drink the cranberry juice.
I know, the stuff that tastes like shit. The 100%.
That's right. That has no sugar in it. That's
shit.
What goes through your veins. But also the Azo cranberry pills are helpful to ease the pain, not cure, ease the pain until you can get your treatment. But do not be fooled. Because it will mask the pain, but you still have a UTI.
I know.
So those Azo tablets are good for like, I need to get to the doctor without having that pain, then I have to pee thing.
Yeah.
Sorry I brought it down, but I just want you to have good vaginal health.
Everyone
here
needs
for
to know
this.
About the importance of cranberry juice.
And vaginal health.
And vaginal health. Absolutely.
I haven't had a UTI for a while, but I remember those days of being like, if I just wait it out, it'll go away.
Oh,
it's like,
God.
No, girl, it's not happening.
No, you just got to get treated.
It really is terrible.
No, yeah.
Truly, like,
it's been a while.
Torture.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knock on wood.
It's
I don't
been a while.
It.
Also,
yeah.
Having sex has been a while, so there's a 100% chance that I'm going to get one if I ever feel like having sex again, but also I just don't feel like having sex. I feel like I had a bunch of sex and now I'm done. My vagina's like, peace out. I'm not that into it.
Do you just mean like there. You had a bunch of sex like in your life and you're like, all right, I'm good?
I don't know.
It's really funny because I was like, I would fuck anything twice on Sunday.
Yeah,
I feel
that.
And then my sex drive just kind of dissipated. And the thing that's super interesting, like, you know, I'm in my 50s and now it's like, and my sex drive kind of like went away. Mm-hmm. But my drive to like kill everything that gets in the way of any woman trying to like just access mm-hmm. her fucking self-determination yeah. has kicked up 20-fold.
Oh, and wow. I'm like,
yeah. That's and awesome. So it's kind of like, that's why women in their 50s get so much shit done. Because mm-hmm. when your libido kind of starts waning and oh. you have zero interest mm-hmm. in the male gaze and what it means to like attract or be putting that out there, mm-hmm. your shit and energy just goes other places. And I'm just like, literally the only thing I want to fuck is the patriarchy.
Wow. You're free.
I know.
That's but a I lie, still like, Mary.
But wow. I still like my vibrator and stuff. Like, I'm super into my vibrator. I'm super into my shit. But I'm just like, the thought of like, ugh, being out there and being like, oh my God, and I'm on Bumble and these men are just awful. And like the work, you know, I just can't.
Yeah. No, I mean, we all want to come, but that doesn't mean you have to deal with a man.
Not at all.
100%. Or any kind of process with which to find one. It's like, oh my God.
That does sound very freeing.
Yeah. I mean, well, because there's like that, there's men that like stop jerking off and stop having sex because they think it adds to their productivity. Mm-hmm. I forget.
I don't
want to
know those men. Incels?
No, but they're not incels. Men. It's not incels. It's less like evil than that. It's just men that like stop coming at all because they think it makes them more productive.
Oh, a lot of athletes. Yeah. That's the word, not sports guys. Athletes. Yeah. Athletes do that, right? They like try to channel their that shit into that.
I mean, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of.
I don't know. I want guys to jerk off. I think we need them to jerk off.
100%.
Yeah, more should.
I agree,
get better because you're not shooting your load. That's a dumb analogy. Also, typical men. Man, you want to know what? When I come, it's like running a marathon. So I just can't and shouldn't because like it's just going to take away my hours of like really like how I do my sport. It's like, yeah. It's 4 seconds and 3 yeah. tablespoons, you maniac. What are you even talk? Like your self-obsession with your like
with their dick and their cum.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. that's just crazy. And I just like, it's when people, you know, it's yeah. just learn how to manage your time and your shit and your cock.
Yeah.
Learn how to manage your cock.
Yeah. Jerk off. Treat a woman like a person. It's not hard.
I mean,
that's why I think most, male politicians should have to jerk off, right? Before they do anything. Because it's just like, I think like the blue balls are fucking with
it's affecting
with
everybody's
lives.
Chi. Yeah. I don't, none of yeah. us want to feel the repercussions of you not jerking off. Please just jerk off.
But also, yeah. and to put a fine point on why this is super true, not only should you jerk off, you shouldn't avoid it or try to ban others from doing so. Like, yeah. fun fact about Ted Cruz, when mm-hmm. Ted Cruz was Solicitor General of Texas, mm-hmm. he actually implemented a law that you couldn't buy or sell more than 6 sex toys, or it would be a federal offense because you would be trafficking in sex toys.
What?
So... not kidding. So the University of Texas, the women were carrying around their vibrators on the outside of their backpacks because you can have open carry in Texas. And they're like, fuck that shit. We're going to open carry our vibrators. I desperately wanted to do a vibrator buyback program in Texas where you're
so
like
funny.
Stand on a flatbed truck in a Walmart, you know, just being like, any vibrator, no questions asked. Bring it in, dump it in the box. We'll give you $20. Nobody's going to turn you in. We just want to get some of these vibrators off these streets. We just want to get them off the street. That's all we're doing. We're not going to ask for your ID. You don't have to wash it. Just drop it in the box. Take your $20. Go home.
So wait, could you own legally more guns than vibrators in Texas?
100%.
For sure.
What? And
yes. Yes.
God
you,
damn.
Yes.
Wow. And this is the thing that I get so fired up about is the way, because I know people who are really into like the Second Amendment and guns. And I'm like, how do you not see the parallel? The way that you feel free and like you're preserving yourself by owning this gun. How do you not see that that's how women feel about their own fucking uteruses?
Yeah.
That sort of, that right to that kind of freedom. Like, the way they talk about guns and their freedom being taken away in that way, and they don't see the parallel about how we would feel about that about our own bodies is just astounding to me.
I know. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we've talked about this before, but the cognitive dissonance, like, that it takes to kind of just ignore, you know, what other people are saying and fit it to exactly how you feel is strong.
Well, you have to see women as people if
Brandy, what kind of horseshit is that? Why are you bringing up that bullshit?
I know.
Like,
I'm just a weird
people,
hippie.
Blah, blah, blah.
I don't know.
Well, that's I love to these same people who have like think that these masks are taking away their freedom, and they're literally men standing with "My Body, My Choice" signs because they don't want to wear a mask.
Yeah.
And they are the same people who are outside abortion clinics also trying to tell women it's not their body and not their choice. And I'm like, you know, here's the thing about your mask is that if I'm pregnant and I stand 6 feet away from you, I'm not going to risk you getting pregnant. Like, that's not how it works. I don't spread pregnancy near you. In fact, I spread to get pregnant if you want to just, you know. Split hairs, I guess, if you will. But, like, it's so dumb. Like, it's just, like, why are you... Honestly, I don't... Like, people who've never been oppressed in society sure get oppressed easily. They're like oppression snowflakes, right? Oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, 1,000%. I can't believe how many men I've had tell me, like white men have had tell me just, I hate the word privilege. I hate the word privilege. I'm sorry, is that word triggering to you? Is there, I'll use a different word.
Like, well, did you guys see the, I mean, there's been so many like, you know, videos of people being idiots about the mask stuff. But there was that one woman who like went to city council. I can't remember where it was.
Oh,
and she was telling
that
story. She was like, I walked in to a store and they told me I could not be here without a mask. And just like she was saying in this way that she was expecting everyone to feel bad for her. And it was just like, we're just laughing at you. You sound like a fucking idiot. I don't know.
I mean, does she know she would get kicked out if she went in without pants on too? I mean, we have certain...
I just want to start. I just want to start carrying my dog squirt gun around with me and just being like, no, 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 no. Like that's. I just want to start spraying people because I don't know what else. Because they aren't listening to logic.
I know. I feel like we kind of need shot callers for politicians and those people that every time they say a lie or something that is, you know, is harmful, that they have the collar is like a fact checking thing and it zaps you. And you can't say it. It just keeps zapping you if you lie. But like I saw a woman with a sign protesting saying, I won't mask my unborn child. And I'm like you. I'm like, bitch, you're wearing pants. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't even understand. Like, you know, make sense. Have your hate make sense. Because I can't.
Yes.
If you're just going to please have a line of hate that has a beginning, middle and end, follows a narrative that is like, actually, I can't. I don't even know what you're saying. I mean, it's all such gaslighty craziness.
That's why, like, it's so hard to argue with. It's like trying to cut a piece of mercury.
Yes.
It's like, I...
yeah.
It is very... It is that is exactly correct. It is. It just feels... it just feels even weirder and worse than ever. And just everyone whining. And I love these men comedians that are whining. And, you know, could you have your 9th Netflix special and just talk about privilege and how things are hard? And
all my friends got canceled. Oh, God.
I know.
Who's
like, no,
getting canceled?
They're
nobody's
still working,
gotten
baby.
Canceled.
If you're
nobody's
telling me that you're canceled when you're hosting Saturday Night Live or on your Netflix special, how about you're not fucking canceled? Look up canceled. Yeah. Seems you're not. Seems you are on television, on national television, not being canceled. Whining about being canceled. Like, do you want me to sit down and have a conversation with you about fucking canceled? Try being an abortion comedian. Like, are you fucking kidding me? I can't.
No, I know. As a wordsmith, it's like, just have some respect for what different words mean, at the very least.
I mean, at least. That's all you... I don't have to agree with you, but true. Just know you aren't canceled if you're talking in a public sphere. And if someone has invited you there and paid you.
Yeah.
And given you a platform on which to announce your own cancellation.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, are you just mad that like some people get to challenge you? Like That's the height of snowflaking.
Yeah, well, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
That's the height of it.
That's my favorite thing, too, is first of all, just this gross misunderstanding of the First Amendment. The First Amendment doesn't mean that a private platform or company doesn't have the right to choose who does or doesn't get to speak there, first of all. But also, they think it's a violation of their First Amendment if they say something that then gets criticized. It's like the people also have the First Amendment right to criticize you.
Turns
you can
out,
say whatever you want.
That's how it works, baby.
Turns out. I know. And it's so funny because it's like, if you're mad that you want, if you want to get invited to every party, you're not going to ever get invited to every party. So calm down. Sorry, you've created a fan base based on your thing that's made you rich, and you have people that follow you and like you, and then there's other people that don't, and those people happen to be vocal, and those people also are the cutest and the most fun and have the best food and the best dance music. And so you're mad that the people who are the cutest and the most fun and have the best food and the best dance music are like, yeah, we don't really think you're cool anymore. So you just go there with all those other people who like you, and that's the lot in life that you have now. So just,
and that's, you know what? You should be fucking grateful. People have it a lot worse than you. Just sit there and enjoy your little troll party.
That's right.
Yeah. It's got to be, it has to be weird. I mean, it's not weird, I guess, for like shitty guys who just have shitty fans, because I would just hate knowing that that's who liked me the most, you know?
But you know, they created that for themselves.
They did it. And they
I know that they're past it, obviously, because they stopped giving a shit a long time ago. But it's, to me, it just feels so gross. Like, I'm very, whenever we meet our listeners, like, I love that. I'm so proud of, like, who they are and how fucking amazing they are. And I just can't imagine, like, what the...
Yeah. Yeah, I, like hanging out with them. I would hate to be hiding in a green room after a show being like, oh, God, all the boiled hot dogs are outside. This is a problem.
How does Ann Coulter feel every day? She's a fucking gender traitor, and she writes these books, and she has to like go to her book signing and just have all these drooling people saying, thank God, you know, the Nazi party. Blah, blah. Yeah, you created all that. Like, you'll take anybody's money. You just don't care. And like, that's what happened. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's probably fine with it. They all probably just talk about their Coach bags and what the fuck ever. I mean, whatever. Yeah. Enjoy your Pier 1 imports fucking nonsense bullshit situation.
Well, you got to make money if the only way you have friends is by paying for friends. So,
yeah,
I mean,
you got to keep it
going. It's true. I'd rather have a small group of loyal people who like want to do good things and are like, you know, I like what you stand for. And when you give me ideas to how I can be helpful, I want to go do that. And it's really fun. And like, I like a smaller well with cleaner water.
Totally. Well, I mean, I will say the one thing that is exciting is that SNL has just proven that we get paid to do open mics now. So that's what I've learned from the last few monologues. It's exciting to see unworked material will just get you paid now.
I mean, apparently, I don't, my the open mics and Zoom comedy shows I've been doing aren't paying quite as well as SNL, but you know.
No.
Sometimes I just feel like, you know, I've also been somebody who has been super scrappy. And also, like, and here's, I guess, what drives me so crazy is, I have made a career understanding that the things that I care about and vocalize and believe in are going to create backlash and havoc. I don't whine when people say, I'm not booking you at my club, or I'm not going to put you on my show, or I'll find where I'm going to be able to hit that, right? So to hear somebody whining about cancel and this and that and the other thing, it's like, just do your work. Find your people, do your thing. You know, I shot my own special that's coming out in the middle of November. And it was like, I did it because I was trapped in Brooklyn during the pandemic, in the height of it, in the middle of everyone around me dying. And I'm from Minneapolis. And then cops yet again are murdering Black people in Minnesota. And my town was burning down because systemic racism. And I wanted to talk about it because that's what I do. So I drove to Minnesota and I stood on the shore of a lake and my audience was 20 people in kayaks and I filmed a special and it's awesome. And the best part is I wanted to do a show about three things: the election, systemic racism, and the pandemic. And so I'm shooting 3 days after the election the rest of the special. So there's going to be, so it's like leading up to, and then the whole election season, I'm going to shoot in this other really cool, I'm not going to reveal, like weird outdoor Minnesota setting. But like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just doing it myself. Like, cause I'm tired of asking permission. I'm tired of people telling me, oh, I don't know. And it's like, here's what I know, that I have a really successful, but despite everyone going, I don't know. Do we want to see a show every day about the news and comedy? I don't know. You know,
how many are there now?
I know what I mean. It's like literally that kind of shit where you're like, yeah, what a terrible idea I've had. Oh, I don't know.
You created a genre.
Well, no, when you said, if you sit around waiting for any kind of gatekeepers, it's just like, fuck this.
Yeah. No, you drive yourself fucking crazy. And like, I realized so much of this industry, I've allowed myself just to become anxious about something that at that point had become truly out of my control. So it's like, okay, well, then what part of this is in my control? There's always something you can do.
Your own instinct. Absolutely. And I feel like, to me, like the one thing that gave me the confidence was seeing my instincts through. You know, I cannot tell you how, like, literally The Daily Show. Then I get a call like, oh, okay, we want to launch this radio network. And so I was like, well, what about this woman I heard? Somebody sent me her demo reel from, you know, she lives in Western Massachusetts and she's really smart. Listen to her. She's good. Does anybody care about a woman from Western Massachusetts? I'm like, I don't know. Her name's Rachel Maddow. Let's bring her in and see if she's any good. You know, but like I had to push and push and I just pushed because I was like, my instincts, I'm trusting my instincts, and I'd rather fail on my ideas and know that I didn't compromise than succeed on something that was this half hollowed dream. And then listening to some other person who didn't have the idea. So then they think your idea is bad. Like, I'm done. No, follow your instincts, 100%. People, because they're right. Ugh. They got you this far. Mm-hmm. They got you where you're at. They got you dressed this morning. Mm-hmm. They got you that good meal you cooked. They got your house. They got you, you know, good and bad stuff, you know? And like, so trust them. That's what I say.
Yeah. I mean, fucking preach. Absolutely.
Preach. Wait, I have to ask, I saw the pictures of your special. It looked amazing with everyone watching in kayaks. Did anyone just wander up on a kayak who like didn't know what was going on?
So here's the thing. They didn't, because I found this lake that a friend of mine lives on. You know, there's 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. When I say a friend of mine lives on a lake, and they had this kind of private inlet. And so people kayaked from a place. Perfect. And it was kind of a cool night. It was not like a hot summer middle of the night. We shot the kayak piece in mid-September. And so it was, but if somebody would have, I would have been fine with that. And it was also.
I just was imagining someone being like, all right, I guess I'll just slide.
Well, during the sound, when I was sound checking, you know, sound travels on water really profoundly, right?
Yeah.
And so when I was sound checking, I was very cognizant to not be doing my jokes or saying anything, because you know, who knows who lives on a lake. So, but I was test, can you hear me? And there was boats out in the lake waving, probably like, oh, what's going on there? And then I'm like, oh, we're having a birthday party. I'd slide. But yeah, it was pretty cool. And I made everybody dinner. Like I made, it was, and this place had like 10 picnic tables that were social distanced. And I made everybody this picnic supper. And they each had separate boxes and everything. So it was pretty cool the way that we did it. And I called there's an actual constellation in the sky called Corona Borealis. and in Minnesota, the northern lights are very prominent because we're so far north. Mm-hmm. And so you can see the Aurora Borealis almost all the time in the summer, at least once in the summer. And so I made masks that had the constellation on it, and they glowed in the dark. And so you can see them on their boats with the constellation on the masks. It was really cute. Yeah, I'm sort of like one of those weirdo crafty Pinterest people. I mean, you wouldn't know it. Yeah, I make my own vibrators. No, I don't. That's a lie.
Only six.
I carve them on my porch.
I actually retired from crafts because I just realized I fucking suck so bad at them. I think I'm just done for life.
I think it depends on the crafting. Here's truth be told, I'm like bad at like certain things, like gluing, and I have terrible penmanship, and like when scrapbooking, like I'm not good at that kind of shit. But like I can bake, and I can do like I created a set out of old wood boxes and candles and stuff like that kind of stuff I can do. You got to find your craft.
I guess mm-hmm. I do. I love like art direction and props and doing that kind. I am very visual and I love visual shit. But like every time I get invited to like a Christmas craft party, remember Color Me Mine, guys? I had a breakdown. I'm not.
Tess had a hard time at Color Me Mine.
I feel you. I feel that way too. If there's like, if you have to like follow like a line or like do mm-hmm. something straight line, like I can't. What I can't fucking do to save my life is hang a picture straight.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm terrible.
When people like measure from the outer walls and do all this stuff and then they go, the nail goes there, I'm like, I feel
and
like
then
they're
leveling,
wizards.
I can't do, I'm oh, very God. Bad at all that too.
No.
See, I freestyle it and I'm generally right.
Wow.
I have a weird, really? I have a weird confidence about being like, that's where the attack goes. And then I'm pretty much always within like an inch and I can just move it from there. Yeah.
Wow.
It's very strange. I haven't measured basically anything in my house, but everything is like hung pretty well.
Oh
it's
my weird... God.
I have to say it's, yeah. That's one nice thing about being married is I have someone to hang my pictures for me.
That's really nice. I feel like that's a big commitment.
It was a
message
that I remember.
But, you know, I feel like I'm married and I hung my pictures and then now there's like the all of eternity part.
But then you get to look at your pictures for eternity.
Oh, okay. Wait, that's fair. If that's what happens. But, you know.
Well, hold on. Let's take a break really quick. I think Brandy froze, so.
Oh, shoot.
We'll be back in a second, everybody. Hey, everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we are doing a special show the week of the election. We're doing a call-in show. So if you want to call and leave us a voicemail, we'd love to hear from you. Call 661-523-2423 and just let us know how you're doing. Tell us, you know, weird anecdote that's happening to you during quarantine, how you're doing. If you have a lady problem, you're welcome to leave that. Just whatever you want to say.
Anything you want to complain about, get off your chest, confess. We'll take it all.
Yeah, you got a rant. Yeah. You got a top secret you want to give to us.
Yeah, exactly. You want to ask us some questions? Leave a question in a voicemail. We love to hear your voices. And we just want to have like a fun November 4th episode. So leave us something fun. Why not?
So call
us. The number again is?
It's 661-523-2423.
And now we're back with Liz.
You know, it's like in my work, I run a nonprofit that's like this combo of like how we can be artists and talk about reproductive health and rights and justice and abortion. And like the lies around abortion, it's like there's literally people pushing something called abortion reversal, saying that if you have a medication abortion and just don't take the other part, then you can load up with a whole bunch of hormones. And then it'll stop your abortion. And it's like, that's never been tested. Yes, never been tested, not been proven. There's a bunch of states who are forcing doctors to advocate for this. And the
are you serious?
Yes, it is unbelievable. And so it's the kind of thing where one doctor tested six people. I think two people didn't, they didn't take the second pill and then they didn't have their abortion. And that they took these other drugs. But, like, it could be that you needed the second pill to have your abortion. Mm. It's not like these other drugs did anything. So you're loading people up with a whole bunch of dangerous hormones and asking them to carry a pregnancy. And first of all, what kind of assholes are doing a test study on people? Like, if you're pro-life and you're like, we're going to do a test study on reversing abortion, and it's probably not going to work a lot, so we're pro-life, but we're going to just, like, see if you have an abortion or not. You know, like, the whole thing is a mess. Yeah. So they just promote all kinds of stuff that's garbage. When people have later abortion now, when they have them for, like, really serious reasons, like, you know, a lot of problems in pregnancy don't even occur until after the 20th week of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then people have to make really difficult decisions about whether or not they're going to terminate a pregnancy. Or you don't make it possible at all for somebody to access abortion earlier in their pregnancy. And so then they can't raise the money or they can't get it together. Like, there's so many falsehoods that are all just around to subjugate and demonize and keep women relegated to this place that's really a problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just feel like it's just a bummer. It's just all a bummer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just work really hard at trying to educate people around abortion. It's to say the word and not have people be freaked out by it. And, you know, we need to talk about it more, because if you want people to feel okay about having abortions, and if you want to be somebody who somebody can talk to or ask to come with or confide in, we have to open up the dialogue completely. So any abortion experience is one that we're going to open up our ears and our hearts for people who need to talk about it with us.
I mean, I think that's the thing, because even I think people who say that they're pro-choice, or you know, politicians who say they're pro-choice, a lot of times they still stigmatize abortion. Mm-hmm. Even if in theory they are pro-choice, and reproductive rights is so seldom a major topic of discussion in any debate. Mm-hmm. You know, it still is kind of, I think, culturally seen as this shameful thing. And I love so much about the work that you do of, like, not even, it's not even just about access. It's like about
changing
about,
the
like,
conversation.
About normalizing it.
It, because it's a very normal medical procedure.
And we've taken it out of the realm of something that somebody might, a procedure somebody might have to have within their reproductive life, and marginalize it and put it into this shameful space, you know? And I think a lot of people, they really, it's not enough just to say you're pro-choice, because it, if the choice, if first of all, if all pregnancy outcomes aren't honored, there is no choice. You know, if the 16-year-old person who doesn't have financial means wants to have a baby, you know, because they got pregnant, we should honor that with programs that help them have a healthy family, right? Or if the 16-year-old is like, oh my God, I'm not ready, I need to have an abortion, we should honor that choice so that 16-year-old can go on to live the life that they want to live, right? So we don't do that at all, and that's a bummer. But I do feel like you have to actively say, there is no choice if there is no access. And so it's not even about just being passively pro-choice and voting against shitty legislation that comes down the pike from monsters. Yeah. It's about saying, I'm going to be proactive in making sure that all roads that lead to any reproductive care that anybody needs are going to be cleared, and that path is going to be available for people that need that, for birth control, for STD testing, for abortion, for all of it, you know? And so that's, you know, it just has to be. And those of us who have benefited from access to all those things need to speak up when we can, you know, to say, I'm here because abortion. Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac is here because of abortion. We need to start saying that kind of shit.
Absolutely.
You know, all the things we love. Let's just find a way that, like, chocolate's here because of abortion. Let's just do 6 degrees of abortion for everything that we love, to show people that without abortion, you wouldn't have roller coasters and water and French fries and chocolate and I don't know, all of it. All of it.
Yeah.
It is wild when you, you think about, you know, people try to obviously demonize, like, Planned Parenthood and stuff like that. And I just can't imagine like what my life would be without it, you know, like how, like all the, you know, STD tests and just like, just all the medical issues that I've had that they've helped me with. It's just, it's insane. And people just, you know, paint it in this like evil way. It just, I don't know. It's so hard because people are so set in their mind where they just think like, this is just about like a little baby and you're stabbing it to death. Like that's what they want everyone to think,
because that's what's happening. Exactly, that's what an abortion is. You go in with a little knife, you just stab the shit out of a fetus.
Which would actually be adorable if they did it that
way. Just know that it's exactly like that.
If
it's
they
just
sent
like
in a little Chucky's from Child Play into your uterus.
I mean, that's the thing. There is no knives, there is no cutting in abortion, by the way. So anytime they talk about stabbing or cutting or whatever the hell, I mean, the whole thing just seems so nutty. And I just feel like also in the evolution of how we've talked about this issue, you know, like, when we really started talking about, you know, reproductive emancipation and stuff, you know, women back in the day, rightly so, were just like, men, we don't need you to weigh in. All you've done is weigh in and control us. Just please let us. But we really need for men to allow women to show up and allow women to, and people with uteruses to stand up and fight. And they need to be there with us in our court and also prioritize our humanity. Because if you're saying that you are standing up for human rights and you're saying that we need equality across the board and that everyone on this planet needs to be equal, that is a mm-hmm. that is a all genders fight, right? And mm-hmm. so yeah. it needs to be like when a candidate says, I'm you know, I'm a pro-life Democrat. It's like, no, that can't be okay. It can't be okay for people. And it can't be okay for men. And it can't be okay. You know, we all have to be like, mm-hmm. women deserve the full range of economic freedoms and reproductive freedoms that put them on that path to whatever they need to do. And I am, and it's not a good world and it's not a free world until that happens. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that that point is not discussed enough either, that the other side of reproductive freedom is, if you do want to have a kid, having fucking access to childcare, so that having a child doesn't derail you professionally.
100%. And also just derail you in every way possible. You know, like being able to say, if you are a person who is of not as much means, that we want to make sure that you have the capability to feed and care and nurture and all of those things that don't make you feel overwhelmed, that lead to, you know, other choices you might make, bad partnerships, you know, and in COVID, oh my God, when COVID happened, the first thing that seven governors did in America was say that abortion is not essential and tried to shut clinics down to have them stop providing care. And I can't tell you how many folks were reaching out to our organization saying, can you help? What can we do? Can you imagine being housing insecure, food insecure, job insecure, and then realizing you're pregnant and being like, I can't do this. And so many people were having to quarantine with their abusers, would find out they were pregnant, or not even abuser, but a relationship that was not, that maybe was going to go in a different direction, that maybe you were going to end. And then COVID forced a lot of people to be in spaces that were not healthy, that were not safe, that were not fulfilling. Yep. And then guess what? You're COVID, you're in quarantine with someone, you're fucking. You just are. Like, and then
if you're lucky. Yeah.
But you know, if like if it happens and you're just like, why is parenting a punishment? Can someone explain to me why you would force someone to parent if they said and have self-assessed that they would not, they can't, don't have the capability, and don't want to? To me, that is...
Yeah, that's so odd.
Well, not only that, but you can only force a woman to parent. You cannot force a man to 100%. Parent. So there's nothing in place... So men are just scotch-free. They are inherently pro-choice.
Yes.
If they want, they can always bone out.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. Do you know what I found out, you guys? This is fascinating. So I have a friend who is who has a underage male, has an underage child, and he is 64. So he, if you are a man who can qualify for Social Security and you have a kid, that kid gets your amount of Social Security as well. But
what?
Yes. Oh. But think about that. A woman can't give birth.
Yeah.
And have a kid under.
At 65.
65. So women don't qualify for that. It would never happen for a single woman, but it happened for a single man.
That is so insane.
Right? So unless you were adopted,
Right.
But if you were a person having a kid, like it's not happening for you. Isn't that wild?
Jesus.
That's trippy. So the dad collects for both of them?
Yes. They get double Social Security.
Whoa.
Yeah. Flaw in the system.
Yeah. Seriously.
I know. You know, I'm just dropping all kinds of knowledge. Have I just derailed your podcast completely?
No.
We're all just thinking about it.
We're all just processing it.
I'm actually thinking about, because I have a brother who's either 6 or 7. So I'm like, does my dad getting bonus Social Security?
Your dad could. Your dad could.
It could be.
If your dad knew about it.
I'm just saying your little brother, like rolling up in one of the, like a little, one of those mini cars, just like, what's up?
I would do that.
Have your dad look into it. because it's real.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I can at least use this to my benefit or my dad's benefit.
Yeah.
Social Security.
Tell him about it.
That's wild. Okay, we're all gonna continue processing this. We'll take it. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Liz Winstead.
I'm Liz.
Perfect.
I'm Liz. We're going to give some advice if you want to help us out with that.
Sure.
If you want to ask us, you can send it to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Here we go. Hi, gals and guests. I'll just jump right in. I moved to New York City from California in July for a new job and shortly thereafter ended a 1.5 relationship after long distance wasn't working. It's essentially my first time being single in the, quote, real world, AKA not in college or in the tiny national park community I worked in the last 2 years. So it's a bit daunting. The problem is one of my very good friends lives in the city and I think I have a crush on him again. We were friends in college and started casually dating / sleeping together a few years ago, the summer after we graduated college. We've kept up with each other ever since, but before I started dating my last boyfriend, we even sexted randomly and were often flirty, but because we were across the country from each other, it was a moot point. Well, now I'm here in the city and we have the same friends that hang out every week in our little COVID safe pod. I'm still attracted to him and want to seek out a sexual relationship, but I'm worried he no longer feels the same. I want to be straight up and honest, but I'm afraid if he rejects me, it'll make our friendship really awkward. I guess my question is, how can I approach this without losing my friend, or should I just not broach the subject and date outside the friend group instead? Am I just horny because I haven't had sex in almost a year, even though I was in a relationship for part of it? Yes. So sorry for being so long-winded. I love you guys and thank you for this podcast. Stay safe.
Dude, she's for sure going to fuck this guy.
Yeah, you should definitely fuck this guy. Number one, he's in your pod already. Don't go outside of your pod as often as you can. You're friends, so there's some inherent trust there already.
Also, I 100% guarantee you is planning on fucking you.
Yes.
Well, it's odd she can't tell what's going on. So I'm not sure what's going on his end, but I guess she's asking if she should go for it or if she should you know. Oh, Tess, Tess is frozen.
She's frozen up.
Oh. It's a good freeze face.
Yeah, it is a good freeze face. We're going to catch up. She'll get there.
I mean, yeah, we can just keep going, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do think that there is in COVID, I think it is this weird disclosure of there is more of a conversation I think that should happen before just hooking up. So I can see it being hard to know who pulls the trigger on that to be hey, I know that we are opening ourselves up to a big risk. It's like an STD conversation, but even bigger, I think, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of how COVID feels.
Well, it's a weird, it's even bigger, but it's also both of you could maybe catch it.
Yeah. Either of you could bring it in. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back, Tess.
I guess I just always am. I always get a very strong pit in my stomach whenever I hear women say or ask, I don't know how to say, I don't know if I should ask, I don't, because truth be told, this is what's wrong in the world, is that the fact that women have to wonder if they should ask for what they want, because the ramifications of what they want is always greater than they're meeting their needs. And it's a problem in a small scale. You should ask for what you want and put it out there and see what happens if that's truly what you want. Because why wouldn't you try to get what you want? You deserve it. But in the larger scale for me, it's when you look at constantly when we are talking about Me Too and sexual assault and all these kind of things, it's the same situation where there's no clarity in the situation because men are like, I was getting signals from her. I was getting this vibe. I was feeling this thing. Never the woman able to say, this is what I want. This is what I don't want, because there's ramifications to saying what you want. There's ramifications to saying what you don't want. And we need to reclaim the narrative around our needs and our wants and what expectations mean and what rejection means. We just need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think part of that too is just starting to get comfortable with rejection, which I think is so, we're in such a unique situation with comedy, yes, because we're able to build up such a nice high rejection tolerance that I think that helps, you know, but so who gives a shit? So you get rejected. You're not going to the emergency room over getting rejected.
No.
Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. You know? And like guys aren't going to get weird about it either. They're going to be like, oh, okay, well, she wanted to fuck me. Cool. Well, I'm not into it right now. It's always right now.
Also, guys always want to fuck you. So
yeah, exactly.
If he's not in a relationship, he's going to want to fuck you. What you have to decide is, what is your emotional stake in it?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you worried that he doesn't have the emotional stake that you want him to have? That's a different question.
Yeah. Because, yeah, like, are you truly just looking for a friends with benefits situation, and will you be cool with that? Or do you think this is going to lead to you getting feelings for him? And then,
I mean, it sounds like, yeah, she really actually likes him.
Yeah, she's got
it's a moot
him.
Point though, because she's gonna fuck him. Is it a great idea? Maybe not. You're gonna fuck him.
Yeah, I mean, you have to get over the whole, is it gonna make our friendship circle awkward thing? Because that's just life. You know, it's like shit happens. People hook up, and then you see how it goes from there. So,
part of being an adult is just learning how to fuck people and be polite about it.
Yeah, it's true.
I do get that there's more pressure right now, because especially if you have your COVID pod, it's not like you've got a lot of other people, friend groups to like go out and hang out with. But what do you think though? I mean, she's asking really if she should approach him about it. I mean, I think that's the biggest question. And so I don't know, because I honestly have been very aggressive, like, and asked for what I wanted, and it didn't really lead me to that many great places in the past, so I don't know if that's the answer either.
Yeah. I mean, well, they also have a history. Like, they used to, like, sext and, like, were flirty, and they used to sleep together. Like, they already have, like, a history of this stuff.
I think this is just, like, a hand-on-the-leg situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would let it happen naturally, because it sounds like you're also in the fun part of it, so I would... Mm-hmm. Let the crush kind of play out and just enjoy it and see where it goes. And put the hand on the leg if you need to move it to the next level.
And I mean, I will say this, it doesn't happen for everyone, but I did hook up with one of my guy friends and ended up marrying him. So
very true.
There you go. So,
you know,
you never know.
No, I think a lot of great relationships start that way. So
Yeah.
You can't be caught up in the awkwardness of what might happen later. That's just not, you know, you don't want to live your life that way.
And also just really check in with if, you know, she's asking and answering a lot of questions for herself in this. You know, I don't know if I just want to get laid. I don't know if I'm just lonely. This person that I used to be with is now here in New York. You know, like, you know, ask and answer like these things for yourself. You know, spend some time with them and is it like, are you just trying to find companionship in a time when this shit's crazy? Or is this person somebody you've been thinking about off and on? And you even said, like, you know, we're having some sexting stuff. So, you know, get your shit straight with yourself before you make a move. Be honest with yourself for what you want.
Yeah.
And any of those outcomes are totally fine. It's also right. Yeah, shit's weird right now. And if it's just like you just want a COVID boyfriend or COVID whatever, like that's nothing wrong with that.
I honestly know quite a few people who I think have just adopted COVID boyfriends.
Like a rental service.
So many people who do comedy quarantine are like, I have a boyfriend now, and I'm like, what? What the fuck is going on?
I think, well, I mean, it's because like, right now part of the conversation is like, hey, I'm attracted to you, but also I think you're smart enough to not get me killed. Like, that's the weird extra layer to it now. And like, honestly, high compliment.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there's a lot of people that I'm like, oh, you're an idiot. You're a hot idiot. But like, you're going to fuck somebody up really badly because you don't know how to wash your hands. You're too hot to have learned to wash your hands, and nobody should fuck you.
That's right.
Now.
It's wild.
Yeah,
I mean, we all know how guys always have a damp towel in their bathrooms, but unfortunately, it's not from washing their hands.
What is that about? It's disgusting. It's so gross.
It's so the smell, the mildew smell of men's in their 20s bathrooms, I will never escape.
It's something else. And it really, it's something that you sit there on the toilet and you just think about all your own decisions. You know, I think it's there for us too.
I mean, the guy, yeah. I will never forget being at a guy's apartment and there was mushrooms growing out of the carpeting.
Oh, God.
Oh my God. It was the grossest thing ever. Oh, it was God. Really just like the Valhalla of awful.
Oh my God.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's.
That vision is going to like haunt my
haunting.
Dreams.
Haunting. It's haunting.
Oh, this just gave me a good idea for the top secret session. That
great. Oh my God.
A bedroom I was in that I. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Flashbacks. Oh,
I'm just having flashbacks of a few different. I think the worst bedroom for me was one where there was so much clothing on the floor that it was level with the bed, which was also covered in clothing.
Oh wow. So just like a sea of a layer.
It was like a rat's nest of mildewy t-shirts that had almost become like t-shirt bricks.
Oh man. God.
Well, maybe he was just trying to build a conversation pit out of old t-shirts.
Oh my God. That is not good.
Well, listener, as long as none of those situations, see how long he washes his hands for, and then figure out if you want to fuck him.
Maybe
or not.
That is the bonus of dating in this time, because you have to FaceTime with people before you can like really meet, and so you have to see what their place looks like.
Yeah,
you have to be able to kind of get if it's a mushroom apartment or not.
100%. Yeah, and you get to see them wash their hands and how they really are.
Exactly.
And if they feel organically like putting their mask on and organically being 6 feet when you meet them, and like, you know, if stuff feels effortless and not like I'm on a date so I have to act this way, like, you know, you can really get that sense from people.
That is true, because like so often it's like, oh, this guy's kind of cool, you know, in the regular world, and then at the end of the date you're like, oh, you're a fucking nightmare. Mm-hmm. So these are all things that we can calculate earlier on now.
Yes.
I keep saying, I think every guy should have to put a picture of his bathroom in his dating profile.
Oh my God,
like
a real
bathroom picture.
That would change the world. Bathroom, and then I want to see the bed.
Yeah.
Yep. Post your bathroom, post your bed. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see that wall art. Is it just a poster? Is there
something? Can we start this dating app? Like, what is this?
Yeah, I think it's going to start out as like, though, sort of like Cake Wrecks, but for apartments of people's that you're fucking. You know, it's like, I fucked this guy, here's his bathroom. What the fuck?
Maybe that's just the website, I fucked this guy, here's his bathroom.com.
Yeah, I fucked this guy, here's his bathroom.
I mean, I'm going to GoDaddy right now to grab that. So,
but I don't want to reward men. You know, maybe it's more like I was going to fuck this guy and then I saw his bathroom. And so I didn't. You're punished for having a shitty bathroom.
No, I'm not making it that far if we're not. I'm not getting in there.
Fair. I mean, we're just desperate.
I do miss like taking a shower in the guy's bathroom and then just like sampling all of his roommates, you know, Bath and Body. It's kind of just like your own little spa. You're like,
here's some stuff.
I'll use this body scrub.
Yeah.
Always fun to use other people's toiletries.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why that is.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a fun little exchange, like a COVID exchange, just like a pod of people are just like, I want to put just travel sizes together of my stuff, and then we can just swap them. Like,
that's actually a great idea. What have you discovered in your impulse buying like a loony shit ordered? Like, is there a new thing that you discovered that made you calmer, feel better, was like a good self-care thing? Like, you know, self-care exchange is not a bad idea.
That is good. Yeah, because I recently got a white noise machine, which has been like the best thing ever.
But they're saying it might be bad for you. I just read an article.
No. Really? Why? What would it be?
That white noise machines could actually do more harm than good. I want you to read about it.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, God. Man. Don't take this. I have to have... That's how I sleep, though. Because if I don't have it, my thoughts just go, like, overtime.
I understand. Oh. I'm understanding. I'm just saying, you have to take in information when it's put out there. You know, you do. It's not. Don't be one of those white machine mm-hmm. deniers.
That's what Tess and I are going to become, the QAnon of white noise machines.
Don't believe the deep state.
Don't bring me the truth.
No. I want to be in a deep sleep state. I agree.
The deep sleep state is important. I think that's hilarious.
It's very important.
I basically also, just because I love coffee so much, like it's so central to who I am and like my soul that I just can't bear the idea of drinking less of it. So I just have to double down on like sleep stuff. Like I have a white noise machine. I got Botox in my jaw muscles so it stopped grinding my teeth. I have a mouth guard.
Just all so this, you can drink like two pots of coffee.
You refuse to cut back on the coffee. Not even switch to decaf. Not even switch to decaf at a certain that'd point
be
pointless. In the day.
That would be disgusting.
I just Googled white noise bad, like a caveman What's trying to figure deal? Out. I'll read about it all later. Well, but right. I mean, I could see that. Like anything that isn't like silence and darkness is probably fucking with you in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having lots of weird dreams, so maybe that's the...
Can you set them to just turn off after like 10 minutes or something? Because yeah. Like, okay, that's usually I listen to a podcast or something for like, and then have a timer that goes off after 10 minutes, and I'm usually out.
No, I need it the whole night.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I also like I'm also deaf in one of my ears, so like I'm really spoiled in terms of sleep. Like I can have total silence as long as I'm sleeping with my left ear down. So the white noise machine allows me to sleep with my other ear down. I don't know, it sounds weird, but like
interesting.
I'm so super sensitive to sound in my left ear that if I hear anything, it wakes me up because my whole life I've had my deaf ear up.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotcha.
The life of a
half. Well, we're still going to read about it and figure it out, and we encourage all of our listeners to listen to science. Listen to the white noise science.
And it may be that it's for certain kinds of people who have certain kinds of things. And maybe you don't fall into that category, and maybe you do, but like at least read about it.
Okay.
And just at least read about it. Okay. Friends.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be the time when they told us that flossing doesn't matter. And it was like, but I think it does.
No, it totally does. I floss every day. I'm obsessed with flossing. So I don't even care.
Yeah, I just was like, I think that we should still do it, even though the internet told us we don't need
getting
to.
Getting dead food out from the middle of your teeth is never bad.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know, but someone said it.
Well, it's like the great milk debate. Is milk good? Yeah. Who knows?
the what debate?
The great milk. I feel like milk is like always coming into vogue or out of vogue. And I'm like, is this good or bad
for
me?
The great milk debate. What are you talking?
Well, like, no.
Do you need milk as an adult? Is a huge thing.
Yeah. I mean, milk's the reason I have giant boobs, because we got all the fucking cow hormones in us.
I would say that, yeah, the hormonal milk is real. Hormones in general and food is real. Yeah. You know, like. People who are 4 months old are getting their period. It's a problem.
Yeah, it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always blame McDonald's chicken nuggets for big boobs, but milk is probably also a part of it.
We all have our thing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I just want to
spicy nuggets give you UTIs, so.
Google that, everybody. Google that first.
Yes, you don't have to Google it. It's truth. Liz, thank you so much for doing the show.
This was so fun, y'all. Please have me back again more than every two years.
We promise.
It's too much fun. It's too much fun to talk to you all. I love you.
Aww.
So good to see you.
You
too.
Bye.
Tell everybody
where they can find
you. Oh, you can find you can find me myself on all the social medias at Liz Winstead. It's LizzWinstead. And if you want to participate in taking some action on protecting reproductive rights and doing it in a fun way, we are managing all kinds of really interesting things at Abortion Access Front or Abortion Access Force. So you can just type those things in and you'll find them online and follow us and sign up to volunteer and it's fun.
Yeah. And follow Liz for whenever the special comes out. I can't wait to fucking see this. It sounes so cool.
Yes.
I'm really excited for that.
Thanks,
fucking
guys.
Badass.
Corona Borealis. Trailblazer. I'll let you know when it's coming out, but I'll keep it posted. Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys.
We're going to head over.
Bye.
We're going to head on over to patreon.com for our top secret session. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at ladytoladycomedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.